Two security flaws have emerged that leave exposed the brains of most of the computers and many of the mobile devices that surround us. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news security researchers have been scrambling for months to fix flaws in the microprocessors inside almost all the computers in the world. What's more, there are apparently two of these vulnerabilities. Number one is called Meltdown and affects many generations of Intel processors. It's a software thing. Number two is called Spectre, and it's how most computers are wired, not just software but hardware, that could be exploited by hackers. From remote big computers in the cloud to some smartphones, what is private could be seen. Let's start with any remedies for Meltdown. Jeff Pollard is Principal Analyst for Security and Risk at Forrester Research.
It appears that the patches, for the most part, are ready. I think the major thing that enterprise organizations, as well as users, have to understand is when you look at like cloud computing, for example, AWS and Azure are prepared to release maintenance windows and patches for these. But that's just for the underlying infrastructure that your systems might reside on if you're in an enterprise organization that uses cloud. Your systems are still not patched. You'll still have to deploy those separately.
AWS is the Amazon cloud service, and Azure is another big one?
Azure is Microsoft's version, absolutely right.
We've been talking about Meltdown here. There's also Spectre, and for that, we have a basic architecture issue. I mean, I don't have a soldering iron that small to be able to get into those chips to fix anything.
And here's the thing. When you look at this issue, Spectre, you know, we now know from Intel's release and information about this that it affects around a decade's worth of chips. Spectre, you know, really seems to be something, frankly, that is an architectural flaw in any what they call x86 instruction set CPU, which is the dominant instruction set that most of us work on top of when we use our computers. The problem there is that the time that it takes to design a new processor and then, you know, fab it, manufacture it, release it out to market, that's a decade. That's a 5 to 10 year process for chip designers and chip manufacturers. This is an engineering and architectural issue that's going to be around for a very long time.
It seems hard to overstate the significance here. I guess one mitigating factor is we're not sure that these vulnerabilities have actually been exploited. Maybe it's pretty hard to use these to get in.
We do know that exploitation is absolutely possible. Proof of concept code by security researchers, good guys, has been posted. What we don't have evidence of yet is that this is being exploited by bad guys. But it took the good guys, in this case that were learning about it yesterday, around a day or so to develop, you know, an exploit for it. That means that motivated threat actors are going to be able to react as quickly as they are. And so we absolutely have to be concerned that, yes, nothing bad yet, but obviously it is something that can be used for offensive purposes. So the time it takes to incorporate these is certainly shrinking, and that's what we have to be concerned about.
All right. Well, this will be an unfolding story that we'll keep an eye on. Jeff Pollard, Principal Analyst for Security and Risk at Forrester. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Tomorrow, it's the big jobs report of the month, unemployment and employment for December. Diane Swonk of DS Economics thinks the number of new jobs added to payrolls will stay quite high.
Well, we're looking for about 180,000 jobs with some risk to the upside on whether or not all these professional services hired up accountants in anticipation for the tax change.
You mean all these tax changes? You might actually see it in the macro economy, people getting jobs to account for the taxes?
Exactly. These were not simplified tax changes. These are more complex, and a lot of people are going to look for a lot of help in how to get their tax cuts and their tax changes going forward.
The government data is tomorrow, but what we do have is this private sector survey from ADP, the payroll company. That gives us a bit of a hint.
It's a bit of a hint, and it does show the big surge in professional services, which is interesting. It also shows a big surge in leisure and hospitality because December was a terrific month, along with November, for travel and discretionary spending. We don't have such a good month in January, given we're shutting down airports all up and down the East Coast. And depending on how long those shutdowns and closures last, in the South in particular, that could disrupt economic activity in the first quarter.
Always good to talk to economist Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
We were just mentioning the weather there. This storm that's over Virginia up to Nova Scotia, potentially dumping snow, will measure in feet, along with winds gusting through 50 miles an hour today. The Northeast gets this stuff, but this time states as far south as Florida, Georgia, and Texas have been dealing with ice and snow as well. From Austin, Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
Weather in Texas is generally pretty mild. Think t-shirts and flip-flops, even in winter. Victor Murphy's with the National Weather Service Southern Region. He says many towns can't really budget for cold weather events because they only happen once every 5 years.
Counties and municipalities are sort of left to fetch and fend, you know, for their own.
He says the state has some money to salt major bridges and overpasses, and the city of Austin, for example, has emergency money set aside to look after the homeless if it drops below freezing.
You know, allow people to move into those shelters and things like that.
At the Austin Resource Center for the Homeless, it's normally a lottery system to get a bed. But on nights like this, the doors stay open until midnight. Felipe Castro Jr. has a bed here.
The ones that are already in, they'll go ahead and send them to a church or another shelter and then leave the first floor open for any people that are stranded outside.
The worst weather in Texas is probably over for now. That same front is poised to bring those freezing temperatures and snow to Florida and South Carolina over the next few days. In Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And life is good if you are a person or a company with expertise in training cars to drive themselves. There's news today. Volkswagen of Germany, along with Hyundai of South Korea, are joining separate partnerships with a Silicon Valley startup that does autonomous driving tech. It's Aurora Innovation of Palo Alto, California, which has been in existence just a year. VW and Hyundai are shooting for 3 years from now to get self-driving taxis on the road, for starters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.